As President Bush makes the case for war against Iraq, the Pentagon plans to ask Congress this month for relief from 6 environmental laws, including the Clean Air Act and the Endangered Species Act. Defense officials plan to do so in the name of national security, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
Nearly 30 million acres of military land is vast, undeveloped range used for combat training, live ammunition exercises, and bombing practice. It's also home to 300 federally protected plant and animal species. And the Pentagon says peaceful coexistence has become difficult. Defense officials from bases all across the country contend the military's training mission has been compromised by a second overriding mission, protection of the environment. Paul Mayberry, the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Readiness, heads the group charged at the Pentagon with asking Congress for relief.
We must give proper consideration to military training in this overall balance and equation. Otherwise, we no longer have a military base or training area. We have wilderness areas. We have a wildlife refuge.
Acre per acre, military lands are 3 times as likely to contain habitat for these species than any other federal land. Now, this didn't just happen. Over the last decade, the steady advance of urban sprawl has butted up against military boundaries, making the bases de facto sanctuaries for birds, plants, species that can no longer survive elsewhere. Jeff Ruck is the director of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. He agrees the military has found itself with a new burden, but says that's no reason to be exempted from it.
The mindset here is that the national defense requires destroying the very assets that it's supposed to be defending. And if they can cast the issue as the safety of our men and women in uniform versus some damn dicky bird, that's the way they'd like the debate to be cast.
Ruck points to a GAO report issued last year that found that while environmental laws and development are encroaching on military ranges, the Pentagon had not quantified negative impact. Nowhere is the conflict more striking than at Camp Pendleton, where they're doing just that. Some 40,000 Marines train here on a 200-square-mile base. It's an anomaly of undeveloped land in Southern California. From the air at night, it's a black hole in a sea of lights. Driving north on I-5, it's the only pause in a relentless march of housing developments up and down every ridge. For 60 years, Pendleton has served as a Marine Corps training base with some 45,000 exercises a year, from amphibious landings to sniper training. It's smack dab in the midst of San Diego County, home to more endangered plant and animal species than any other county in the country. Of 37, 18 are located here on the base, where they flourish.
The problem then is that the more species we have, the more restrictions.
Lupe Armas hovers over a map covered with dots and lines delineating protected areas. As the head of environmental security here, he's caught in the middle. Every success story, he says, has a downside. For example, with the least tern population increasing on base from 100 pairs to 1,000 pairs, comes more limitations on land use.
Every time there's a new nesting pair, it's another dot that trainer needs to work around. And it gets to the point where basically there's critical areas that are needed for tactical training are literally so crowded with dots that our trainer basically says, you know, I'm not going to train in that area because if I do, I jeopardize my career. I mean, and there's criminal liability when you hurt a protected species.
Tiptoeing around makes the duty to train Marines the way they'll fight damn difficult, says Mike Collier, Director of Operations and Training.
People have suggested, well, why don't you move Camp Pendleton? You know, if you've got all these problems, why don't you move it? And my reaction has been, well, we're not wed to this piece of ground. All we need is 200 square miles along the western coast of the United States with about 15 or 20 miles of beach land that we can use any way we want to. So if anyone wants to find us at 200 square miles, you get the point. When we go up here, Captain, and start, we're going to go down the hill. We're going to make a curve up here down to the right.
On a bright blue day, Collier drives to the least restricted of the base's 4 beaches, Red Beach. It's a postcard-perfect oceanfront, coveted by developers and critical for wildlife.
Pretty nice here. So, from here
to the other end where the bluffs begin again, about 1,500 yards.
Okay.
As you look out here, any place you see vegetation means a place where Marines can't dig. Also, means a place where Marine vehicles cannot drive. So no Jeep, no truck, no tank, no assault amphibian vehicle can go anywhere where they see the vegetation.
Helicopters fly back and forth overhead, practicing landings. Marines once stormed this beach repeatedly to prepare for the Battle of Iwo Jima. The sign now posted in the dunes says, foot traffic only. And one more thing, Collier says, you can't dig here anymore either.
In a perfect world, I'd like the Marines to be able to do anything they wanted to do. Dig any hole, anywhere, however deep, however wide. Travel anywhere on this beach, go up and down, sideways, anything that the tactical scenario dictated to them.
But that's out of the question because of what's here. Archaeological sites, protected riparian and vernal pool habitat, and endangered birds like the least Bell's vireo, the California gnatcatcher, and the southwestern willow flycatcher. Declining species, indicators of declining habitat, what's happening outside of the base. Stan Norquist, the director for natural resources here, keeps close track of such things. He says another 100 species in the county are at the brink as well, but he believes there's a way to strike a balance.
To do this for them, we need some areas of the base with no restrictions, and we think that's reasonable and supportable based on the history of coexistence of training. We need some areas with no restrictions. If we have that, we may be able to live with areas with some restriction.
The dilemma here is by no means isolated. From the desert tortoise to the white-faced ibis, from Alaska's Elmendorf Air Force Base to New Mexico's White Sands Missile Range, conflicts are on the rise. The military says it's not looking for exemptions, just more flexibility. And to that end, defense officials are working with groups like the Nature Conservancy, buying up surrounding land to serve as buffer zones and corridors to take the pressure off base. But asking Congress for changes in major environmental law goes too far, says Piers Jeff Ruck.
Because in essence what they're saying is these rules that have been laid down for everybody to follow, we're an agency of the federal government, we don't think we should follow them because what we do is important. And so it's another example of a federal agency saying we don't have to follow the rules that everybody else has to follow.
But as environmental groups ready their opposition, they're well aware of the timing. The Pentagon is preparing a strategy wrapped in the flag. As Undersecretary Mayberry puts it, we seek a balance, but we want to guard against our armed forces becoming endangered species as well. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Camp Pendleton.